Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Small group, we can say good morning. We are privileged to be here as the 80th class to lead the chapel this morning here at Southeastern Seminary. I know I speak for the Associate of Divinity class when I say we appreciate the opportunity to have this time. If you've read the seminary, different places, it says Danny Beach is going to preach. Well, that's not true. I'm going to be leading. What we did actually in class, as the Associate Divinity class, in the style of what we do, we took a vote as to who was going to speak. We took three nominations. Three men's name came up: Jim Guffey, Al Watkins, and Danny Justice. And Danny Justice, Jim Guffey got the most number of votes, so he's going to be preaching and sharing God's Word with us this morning. And all three men are honorable men, so they're all, as it turned out, going to be part of the service. Al's going to share in song with us this morning, and Danny Justice is going to lead us in the hymn, as well as read the scripture before we start. So we appreciate the opportunity to minister to you this morning as the Associate Divinity class. I'd just like to lead us in a word of prayer before we start. Father, we are so grateful to be here today in your presence. Lord, you tell us in your word where two or more are gathered, you're there in the midst, and we thank you for being here with us. And Lord, we do look forward to hearing a word from you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning as we sit and we hear hymns sung, as we hear your word preached and shared in testimony, Father, that we would have open hearts to listen to what you have to tell us this morning. Make us teachable. And Lord, just pray that your presence will be here. Anoint Brother Jim as he shares the word. Anoint Brother Al, as he brings a song. We just give this few minutes to you, this 30 minutes or so to you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If he was singing like that, I'd be ready to take off and go to preaching right now, but I just got to read the scripture. So if you'll turn in the Old Testament reading today to the book of Joel, the second chapter, verse 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. If you'll turn with me in the New Testament to Acts, the second chapter, beginning in verse 29, we'll see the prophecy fulfilled by Joel in Peter's sermon. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you and of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now then, they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Will you join me in prayer? Our Father and our God, we come to you now expressing our love and thanking you for all that you have given us and for the things that you have done for us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. This morning, dear God, we take our stand against all demonic powers and against all works of the devil. We thank you for the power of the blood of Christ, the weapon of our own testimony that is rooted in your holy word, and our commitment to serve him even unto death. We pray for people to come to know him and to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We ourselves pray to be anointed and equipped to carry the word through that same power. And so today, dear God, you knowing every heart, prepare us to receive thy word and anoint my lips and my heart to present the message in as simple a manner as possible. And may we know when we leave this place that we have received a supernatural visit from heaven. Amen. As Brother Danny read the scriptures, and he talked about in the same day, there were 3,000 souls added unto them that day. That really impressed me. That really got a hold of me. I had to ask myself, what happened that day? What started out with about 120 people turned into a life-changing experience for over 3,000 people who came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior that day? That means something to me. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's what we should be preaching. What caused these people to respond in such a dramatic way? What turned them around? What caused that crowd to be gathered that day? Well, I think there are several things that took place that day. You know that the people were gathered from all over the world in Jerusalem on that day to celebrate the Feast of the Pentecost. And there were about 120 followers of Jesus who had gathered together in a room, and they were praying. These people were all in one accord. They were doing something together. They were there all together. Nothing amongst them that was causing any strife. They were praying to God. They were seeking the things that Jesus had told them to seek. They were in his will. They were doing the thing that they were told to do. And my friends, all of a sudden, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, God empowered them to say many, many wonderful things about the works that he was doing. And they were heard by the multitudes, and the crowds began to gather. And I can just imagine that they had to leave the room that they were in and go into a different place, because we were told that some 3,000 over, more than that probably, come to hear what they were saying. These people were from all over the world, and the people who were empowered by the Holy Ghost were speaking in foreign tongues. They were speaking so that the people of each nation could hear and could understand what was saying. I think they were there to carry out the commission of Jesus when he said to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And I think that these people were empowered with the Holy Ghost and were speaking in tongues so that the message of God, of Jesus Christ, could be carried throughout the world. But there were people there who didn't understand. There were people there who accused them of having drunk too much wine. There were people there who scoffed at them. And Peter, who was the leader of the disciples, stood up, and he stood and he talked and he addressed the people there. The first thing that he did was to defend the speakers. He took care of them, and he told about what they were doing and why they were there. But then Peter went on to give a sermon. And Peter's sermon is something that has just struck my heart to the very core. Peter's sermon wasn't eloquent. It wasn't a pathetic plea. It was not a cry of believe, believe. But Peter's sermon was something that was simple. Peter's sermon was plain. It was earnest. Its power lay in the truthfulness of the speaker, in his faith in Jesus Christ, in his appeal to the Scripture. And the power lay in the concurrence of the apostles who were with him. They had faith. They were in prayer. My friends, they were in unity. There was no strife between them that day. That's a lesson for us to be learned. Above all, the power of Peter's sermon lay in the Holy Spirit, which had accompanied him that day as he was speaking the word. I think there were several basic parts that I've been able to gather from Peter's sermon that day. He used the scriptures, he used the Old Testament very much when he, as an example to tell the people what happened. He talked about the Holy Spirit and gave an explanation of the Holy Spirit. He talked about the message of Jesus Christ, and then he gave a call to repentance. Let's go take a look at what he did that day. After Peter had calmed the crowd down, he began to speak from God's word from the past. He first spoke from Joel. When he talked about Joel, he said that Joel had said that in the last days, that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. that the Spirit would not be limited, that all who call on the name of Jesus Christ will receive that Spirit. Just as Joel had predicted, the Holy Spirit had come this day. It was poured out on all those early followers of Jesus who were gathered there in Jerusalem, who were seeking God's will, who were praying for His divine guidance. This was a supernatural event, something we don't like to think about, a supernatural event. We need to think about a supernatural event. The gospel would be carried by those people there today, that day, who heard the word. It would be carried throughout the world. And if we're going to have the gospel carried throughout our world today, we need to worry about a supernatural event. We need to be in the presence of Jesus when we talk. We need to be in unity. We need to be in prayer. But the words of the prophet that he spoke that day aren't dead. They're still alive for us today. The gifts of the Spirit that began to flow that day in Pentecost through those people weren't exhausted in that day. They are still available to all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today and who anxiously await His return, who study His Word. They are there for us today. The demand for the proclamation of the gospel is just as great today as it ever was. I think it's even greater today. And God needs to use us men and women to carry that gospel throughout this world. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and they shall receive that Spirit. Let me tell you about receiving the Spirit. I was always a quote Christian since I was 9 years old and accepted Jesus. I went to church, but I didn't always put God first in my life. And when I heard people talk about the Holy Spirit, that was for that other church down the road. I wasn't going to get up and speak in tongues. I wasn't going to do things because I thought that that was the only gift of the Holy Spirit, was a speaking in tongues. Little did I know, even when I came to this seminary and started taking a night class about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, that there were many unique, different gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are more gifts given than we can think about. There are more gifts given than are written in the Word. We just need to open ourselves up and receive those gifts. In 1980, I was clocking along doing pretty good. Had a family, had a great job for the IBM Corporation, was doing very good in business. And then one day, I had a stroke. That stroke took me to the hospital. From there, they figured out that I had lung cancer. My left lung was removed. I came home from the hospital, and then I found out I had a disease called pancreatitis, and I lost the function of my pancreas. It was in 1980. And I'll just give you a brief testimony this morning because time doesn't allow. I believe I could talk for hours about what the Holy Spirit's done for me. But I went on in 1982. My oldest son, Paul, was killed in an airplane crash. It had a devastating effect on our family. My wife, Ann, here this morning is with us. She took that hole really hard. In 1986, just after giving his testimony to me and telling me what Jesus Christ meant to him, my son, Tim, was killed in an automobile accident. My friends, I needed the Holy Spirit right then, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't have that Holy Spirit. I didn't have that power. My medical doctor came over to me, and rather than trying to find out physically anything wrong with me, he laid down on the floor, wrapped his arms around me, and said, "Jim, you don't need medicine today. You're not crazy. You need the power of the Holy Spirit." And he began to pray with me. And as he prayed with me, I could feel that power flowing out of his chest into me, and I received the power of the Holy Spirit there. My friends in church that I went with, and there was always bickering, and you're going to have that in every church that you go to. You're going to find some bickering. When the chips were down, when Ann and I were down and out, our friends in church received the power of the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for us, they ministered unto us, and they cared for us. Even as much as everything happened, I still hadn't had that personal experience. I suffered from complete amnesia and was taken to the hospital. A lot of things in my life that I didn't understand. As they were leading me down the halls in that hospital, my mind just continued to go completely blank until the point that I didn't know anything. But one day when I was in that hospital, for some reason, I got up and I walked to the door of my room and I looked across the hall into a room across from me, and there was a guy who was getting ready to commit suicide. If you had asked me at that moment who Jesus Christ was, I couldn't have told you because I didn't know. I didn't have the capacity to recall, but somehow God's Holy Spirit came into my life at that moment, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, And I went across that room and I ministered unto that man and I led him to Jesus Christ. And he lives today and is out ministering and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit can do in your life, my friends. That's what it did in my life. After Peter told about Joel's testimony and about Joel's prophecies, then Peter turned and he started telling about the words of David, and he started telling about David's prediction of the resurrection. He told about how God had promised that out of David, of the fruit of his loins, that he would raise up Jesus Christ to sit on the throne, that his flesh would not see corruption. And now we see the proclamation of that Savior come true. Peter speaks of this Jesus that God has raised up. He said, let all the house of Israel know that Jesus Christ is risen. And my friends, right now we see the center of the gospel, the truth of the word. God has acted. These people to whom Peter was preaching that day, some of whom had been there when Jesus was crucified, some of probably who had taunted Jesus and had helped in his crucifixion, now heard Peter tell of how God had raised him from the dead. They were witnesses to the event. Some of them were witnesses to the resurrection and had seen Jesus walking on the earth, some of those people there. Now God has made him both Christ and Lord of all the world. He is in heaven right now, sitting on the right hand of God. Now these people were faced with the truth of what had happened, and they were faced with the decision that they had to make. My friends, I ask you this morning, is Jesus Christ a part of your life? Do you know him as the Lord and Savior who died on the cross? In addition to my trip that I had to take down through the valleys when my sons were killed, I also had to come to the cross. And I came to the cross in a most unique way. I had studied about the cross when I was a kid in Sunday school and knew a little bit about it. But I didn't really know that cross until I took a trip, a personal trip, to that cross. Come with me now as I take that trip to the cross. I walked up Calvary's Hill in my mind. I walked up there and I didn't see anybody else there, but I saw my Jesus hanging on the cross. I saw him suspended there in midair on that cross. And as I walked up, I fell down on my knees and I could see the drops of sweat, the drops of blood, the drops of water coming from him that came down upon me. I looked up and I saw the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. I looked into his eyes and I saw the agony that he had. I saw the nails that were piercing his hand and his feet. I saw where the sword had gone into his side, and I came to know Jesus. He was there on the cross dying for me. Do you know Jesus Christ that way? Do you know Jesus the way that he had died on the cross for you? He gave up his life right there on Calvary for a sinner such as I. These people who were there that day, they heard Peter talk. They heard him preach, and they were pricked to the heart. They were convicted. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? His preaching had been effective. It had reached them. Peter came up with an answer in his own way. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and your sins will be forgiven. And he went one step further that we don't always go, that we need to go. He said, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This answer was the same answer that was given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and then 8. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall witness unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. My friends, we have a responsibility when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have a responsibility of something to do. These people that day gladly received God's word, and some 3,000 of them were baptized. They found a new way of life. Repentance doesn't mean just turning around, but it means turning around and going forward for Jesus in a new direction. These people found that way. They turned away from the old things that they had been doing, and they continued steadfastly in the doctrine that the apostles taught. They continued steadfastly in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread with one another, in prayer. They shared with others. They went to church, and they witnessed from house to house. This is the true meaning of repentance. And God added daily such as would be saved. He added to the church. I have a message and a question for you here today. Are you concerned about Jesus in your personal life? Are you concerned about him in the life of your church? Are you looking for growth in your church? Are you looking for a spirit-filled church? Are you concerned about Jesus' command to spread the gospel? The first step that you should take in any of these things and in evangelism and reaching out to people is to become a spirit-filled people. Be filled with the love of Jesus in your life. Then you can go about doing things for God. Be in prayer. Be a witnessing community. Be a loving, caring church. Read the scriptures and respond, my friends, to the Holy Scriptures. Be in unity with one another, not in argument with one another. When we in ourselves in our day cry out, "What shall we do?" the answer has already been prepared for us. Jesus has already done the work on the cross when he hung there and died for us on the cross. Won't you receive him? Only the gospel that you can come and believe in Jesus Christ can make you free from all the problems that you have and can set you on the road towards taking that word. You have got to receive Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was promised. It has been poured out. You must know that the power behind our natural law, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was and who is to come, is now breathing on us, now giving us a command. Jesus was the center of Peter's sermon. How do we respond to him today? It's today, my friend, your day of Pentecost. Let's get back to God's word. Let's get back to reading it, to understanding it, to preaching it. Peter tells us today that through God's words, we can learn how to act as Christians. There is no other way. And then a final note, because time is fleeing, I would just challenge you, my friend, to study God's word, to preach God's word. I want to tell you, I have been approached many times since I've been at this seminary with people telling me about, did you hear so-and-so speak about errors in the Bible? Have you heard about the inerrancy in the Bible? I want to tell you, I've heard more things talked about the errors in the Bible than I have about the truth in the Bible. Get out your Bible and study it, and then go about telling other people, "I love Jesus because I learned it in God's Word." Stop talking so much about the negatives of the Bible and bring out the positives in the Bible. And then when you go into the pulpit, you preach Jesus Christ. You preach the Holy Spirit. You preach and you worship in spirit and in truth. And friends, don't be afraid of that Holy Spirit. Accept it. It is a gift from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Take that Holy Spirit. Apply it to your lives. Spread the word. Let the Holy Spirit flow from you to everybody that you meet. Respond to the calling of that Holy Spirit. Let's get back to preaching God's word. And let's get away from our selfish self. Will you join me in prayer? Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you would cleanse our lives, that you would let us see the things that we need to see from your Holy Scripture, and that we would receive a message to take to this world that needs us today. Be with us, bless us, and thank you, God, for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray this prayer. Amen. Thank you.